Turn with me this morning, if you would, in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 5. Very familiar passage of Scripture this morning. I want to try to share with you just what the Lord has given for us today. And Ephesians chapter number 5, if you would. And I appreciate you being in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. Ephesians chapter number 5 and verse number 18. A very familiar passage of Scripture. And I want to deal with this morning as the Lord leads us, amen, to do so. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, the Bible says, "Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of Jesus, or in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." I want to go back and read verse number 18 once again. The Bible says, "Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege, Lord, you've given us this morning to be in your house. And I pray, dear Father, that you illuminate my mind, guard my lips, and help me, Father, to say only that is pleasing to you this morning. And I pray, God, you'd help us, Lord, today to glean from the precious Word of God. Speak to our hearts, Lord, today. And I pray for everyone that's here today, Father. Thank you for our visitors. I thank you for the members, Lord, and for each one that is here today. And I pray, God, that you speak to each and every individual heart today. Have your will and way in all that's said and done. Hold back all the opposing powers, Lord, this morning. Help us, Lord, to worship in spirit and in truth. And Father, we'll thank you and we'll praise you for all that's accomplished. In Jesus' loving, sweet, precious, and holy name we pray. Amen and amen. I was studying the Scriptures and looking through my Bible and thinking on several different thoughts. And Brother Gary Crisp preached for us the other Thursday night. And he said something in the message that he preached, and it just struck a note with me, and I began to do some studying and trying to put a few things together, just a thought that the Lord gave me when he made that statement. And that statement that he made was something dealing with being under the influence. And so the Lord began to help me with that, and I'll try to put together this thought. And I've titled my message this morning on being under the influence. If you think about that, most of us understand the influence of drugs and alcohol. We're living in a world that's full of that. Amen. We have drugs that are illegal, and we have drugs that are legal that a lot of people are under the influence of. Also, we have alcohol and other drinks that people have. They're under the influence of that alcohol. And I was thinking about that. What does that word influence mean? I looked that word up, and there's a long definition of the word influence. It deals with spiritual, it deals with moral, it deals with all kinds of different aspects of that word. But it is a spiritual power or immediate power of God on the mind. Being controlled by, this is what the definition, one of the definitions is, being controlled by a power whose operation is invisible and known only by its effect, or a power whose cause and operation are unseen. Most of us know that whenever a person drinks alcoholic wine, the Bible says here in verse number 18, "Be not drunk with wine." If we drink alcoholic beverages, normally people get intoxicated and become what is known as being drunk or under the influence. The law now says, used to be under the influence, you would get a ticket for driving under the influence of alcohol. They have changed that now. You get a ticket if you're driving while impaired. That means that you're under the influence of other substances other than alcoholic beverages. And so I was thinking on that thought with the title of my message being under the influence and being controlled by something that we should be controlled by, as the Scripture says, "Be ye filled with the Spirit." Now I want to run this little rabbit, if I may, dealing with verse number 18 in the beginning part of "Be not drunk with wine." There is a message on sermon audio that I preached on dealing with wine. Some folks think it's okay to drink a little wine. As Paul instructed Timothy, drink a little wine for the stomach's sake. They say, well, the Bible says it's okay and we're to drink a little wine for the stomach's sake. Well, you have to be absolutely ignorant to believe that, because anybody knows that's had any kind of stomach trouble at all, the very first first thing that any doctor will tell you is do not drink alcohol or an alcoholic beverage if you have stomach trouble. That's the first thing they tell you. And also, if we study juices, we understand that grape juice and blackberry juice is probably the greatest things that you can take for the stomach. Amen. And so with that being said, I want to say that dealing with wine, if you don't understand that concept of drinking wine, some folks think that it's okay to have a little nip here and there. But according to Scripture, we're not to put strong drink to our lips. Amen. And here the Bible says, now I don't want you to get confused about what the Bible says, because it does say, excuse me, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess. Now they say, well, that means you can drink it, just don't get drunk. The Bible teaches us plainly that we are not to partake of any strong drink. Amen? But the meaning of this verse of Scripture is that whenever a person is drunk with wine and has taken in the excess of wine, they become controlled by that alcoholic beverage. And so the Bible here is plainly stating to us not to be controlled like that, but be filled with the Spirit of God. So being under the influence of the Holy Spirit, to be filled with the Spirit means that we are to yield, or we are yielding ourselves to the Holy Spirit and to His control. All right, is everybody with me? Amen. All right. So if a believer is filled with the Holy Spirit and is controlled by the Holy Spirit, then he will be effective, or there will be evidence that he is being controlled by the actions of the believer. Now let me say that again. If a believer is being controlled by the Spirit, amen, and is filled with the Spirit, then his actions will show that they are being controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. Just as a drunkard would stumble and fall as they walk, and whenever they speak, their tongue is thick and they can't pronounce the word they read because they're drunk. Those are actions that you get. I did that too well, didn't I, Brother Ness? Those are actions that you get because of the effects of alcohol. And so you don't have to guess if that individual's drunk. You know they're drunk by their actions. They don't have to tell you what they drank. They don't have to tell you where they've been. You know that because of their actions. In the same token, the Bible is saying that a born-again child of God, a believer, should be filled with the Spirit and should be singing and making melody in our hearts, being filled with the Spirit of God, singing and making melody in our hearts to the Lord and giving thanks for all things unto God by the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. We ought to be living our life so everybody can see and witness by just our walk where we've been and what we're influenced by and who is influencing us, which should be the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. As we look through the Scriptures, there's several passages of Scripture that deal with the effects of being filled with the Spirit. Now let me help you understand this morning. Once you're saved by the grace of God, you've repented toward God, called on the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior, and you believe in Him. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it's by faith through grace, hallelujah, that we're saved. Once we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are indwelled with the Spirit of God. Amen? Amen. We are indwelled with the Spirit. So there's only one time when we're saved that we are indwelled with the Spirit of God. But let me say this, with that feeling that the Scripture is talking about, be ye filled with the Spirit, it's not how much of the Spirit we have, but it's how much of God has of us. Amen? How much of our flesh is controlling, or how much of the Spirit is controlling. The flesh gets in the way. The desires of the flesh gets in the way. There's things that we allow to come in our life that hinders us in our walk for the Lord. But there's passages of Scripture that show those that were filled with the Spirit, and there were some actions and some things that were taking place in their life because they were filled with the Holy Spirit of God. They were full of God. They had studied the Bible and studied the Word and prayed and been with God, spent time with God, and because of that influence of the Holy Holy Spirit, there were some things that took place. Go with me. In your mind, you don't write this down if you like. You don't have to turn there. But you can write this down. In Acts chapter number 2, verses 4 through 11, they were witnessing and the power of the Holy Spirit of God. They were witnessing in Acts chapter number 2. And the Bible says there in that chapter that over 3,000 souls were saved, amen, and added to the church. The Lord did that. Where did they get such power? Where did they get the strength to do that witnessing as they did in Acts chapter number 2? It's very simple. They were under the influence of the Holy Spirit of God. Please understand with me this morning, as I talk about the Holy Spirit of God, we do not worship the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. The Holy Spirit, the Bible says, does not draw attention to Himself, but He draws attention unto the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who we worship. Amen. God the Father and God the Son, that's who that we worship. We do not worship the Holy Spirit, neither do we pray to the Holy Spirit. We pray to God through Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit helps us, amen, and gives us the wisdom and gives us the words to say. But we do not pray to the Holy Spirit. We do not worship the Holy Spirit. It is God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son, amen. And that's who we witness for, is God the Father, about Jesus Christ the Son. And the Holy Spirit gives us the power to do so. Acts chapter number 7, they were heavenly minded, as you find in Acts chapter 7 verse 55 and verse number 56, because they were under such an influence of the power of God and the Holy Spirit of God. They were under such an influence, they were heavenly minded. I'm telling you that we're living in a day where people are so carnally minded. Listen, the things of heaven, they hardly ever talk about. They hardly ever mention anything about the Lord. They are so carnally minded. And so that tells us they're not filled with the Spirit, but they're filled with the flesh. And we have to be careful with that. We don't want to be that way, amen? We want to be controlled by the Spirit. When someone walks up to you on the street and begins to talk to you, walks to you in Walmart, walks up to you at the grocery store, wherever it is, we ought to be so full of God that the first thing that comes to our mind is, how can I witness to them, and what can I say to them to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ? Amen. That's good stuff. Acts chapter number 13, verse 8 through 10. There was such an overpowering of an influence there on these men standing against false teaching. Hey, it didn't make any difference what others thought. It didn't make any difference who the crowd was. Hey, listen, they stood against the false doctrine and the false teaching in their day. If there's ever been a day and an hour that men of God and children of God and women that are saved, hallelujah, and the people of God, if there's ever been a day or an hour where we need to be full of the Spirit of God and under the influence of God to stand against false teaching, it's in the days that we're living in. Somebody help me right there. Amen. We need to stand against the falseness of our day, the false teaching, the false preaching, all these TV evangelists. Amen. All these book writers that's writing all this false doctrine, these movements that they're having, and they say that God's in it and God's full of it and God's all up in their ministry and blessing their ministry, and some of that stuff's of the devil, and nobody has enough wisdom, enough God in them to see the difference between the good and the evil. Amen. We need to be under the influence of God, so when we hear that preacher preach, we know if he's a speaking truth or if he's a speaking a lie. Amen. When we sit under the Sunday school teacher, we need to have enough God on us to know if the Sunday school teacher is teaching the right thing or if he's teaching some false doctrine that does not line up with the Word of God. Amen. That's good preaching right there also. John the Revelator said in John chapter number 1, verse number 10. You know what John said? John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Boy, if it's any day of the week, we ought to be in the Spirit. Ought to be on the Lord's day. Amen. We ought to come to the house of God fired up and ready to serve the Lord and worship Him and praise Him for what He's done through the week. Amen. John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Another example of being influenced by the Lord is in Ezekiel chapter 37 and verse number 1. The Bible said, and the hand of the Lord was upon me. Paul in the book of Acts chapter number 21 was in the Spirit. The Bible said there he was in the Spirit. What does that mean, being in the Spirit? He was influenced by the Spirit of God. Many others in the Bible are controlled or under the influence of the Holy Scripture or the Holy Spirit. Scripture tells us that we're to walk in the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 16, we're commanded there in the Scriptures to walk in the Spirit. Every day of our life we should be under the influence or filled or being controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. Galatians chapter number 5 and verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. I seen a post the other day on a social media network named Facebook, which everybody's familiar with. I saw a post on there the other day that said, cursing and profane language should never exit the lips of a Christian. I like that. Amen. I like that. If we're controlled by the Spirit of God, we won't have to worry about those foul words coming out of our mouth. Amen. Being filled with the script or the Spirit, the Scripture teaches us to walk in the Spirit. Tells us to walk. Is everybody listening to me? To walk in the Spirit. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And Paul speaking to the church at Galatia. You know what Paul said to the church? Galatians chapter 3, verse number 3. Are you foolish? Paul speaking to the church now, and he says, are you foolish? You started with the Spirit, and now is it the flesh that does the work? This is what he said in Galatians chapter 3, verse number 3. Are you foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? You started by obeying the Spirit of God, and now you've gotten so cold and indifferent, you're allowing the flesh to rule your life and to make decisions that are fleshly, and you're so far away from God. You're foolish. Paul said that to the church. Listen, we better be taking heed, amen. We better be listening to what he said to the church. In the book of Romans, chapter number 8, if you would, you can write this down. You don't have to turn there, but I'm going to read you a few verses of Scripture. First of all, Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the Bible says the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, and neither indeed can be. So them that are in the flesh cannot please God. Y'all with me this morning? Walking in our flesh, away from the Spirit of God, and not influenced and not under the influence of the Holy Spirit of God, the Bible says we cannot please God. Amen. We're to be full of the Spirit of God. Verse number 9 of Romans chapter 8. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Let me run a little rabbit right quick, if I may. We wonder sometimes how so many people do wicked things and do such evil deeds and wrong things and say they're a Christian. Well, I'm just going to tell you what the Bible says. Have they not the Spirit of God in them, they're none of His. They can do those things and get by with it, and it don't affect them. It don't have any change on their life, and it has nothing, listen, it has no effect at all on their thinking. They do those things because they're not of Christ. They're none of His. They have a false profession. Amen, that's good stuff. Not good for them because they have a false profession. Amen. But if they're Christ, then when you sin and you do wrong, the Holy Spirit convicts us of that, and we have to confess it and get it right and turn from what we're doing. That's good stuff. Amen. Ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. And what's this now? Verse number 10. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Amen? And so there's a spirit of the Lord, amen, called the Comforter that indwells us, that fills us if we will allow Him to, and being under His influence, amen, we have power that we're, hey, listen, we do things that we normally would not do. As a drunkard would say things they normally would not say. They go places they normally would not go. And they say things out of the way to people, and sometimes they get themselves in a mess. There's people in prison today and in jails because of alcohol and being under the influence of drugs and alcohol, and they've done things that they normally would not do, but yet they did. And when they come to their senses and all that stuff wears off, they're thinking, what in the world happened? How did I get here? I'm telling you, sometimes you can get under the influence of the Holy Spirit of God and you'll do things. Now, I'm not talking about some crazy stuff. I know there's a charismatic movement. I understand the Pentecostal holiness thing that you speaking in tongues is being filled with the Spirit and you have to be a special person to get the special gift from the special Spirit to speak a special tongue. That's all bogus. That's not Bible. There's no Scripture to back any of that up. And I can prove that. Amen. There's nothing to back that up. Nowhere in the Word of God does it tell us that we have to have some spiritual gift to speak in some spiritual tongue that nobody can understand. That's not of God. Amen. Y'all help me this morning. That's not of God. We understand that. Amen. But there's times when we're full of the Spirit of God and God moves in the service and God begins to woo us, amen, and draw us. And sometimes we'll stand up and shout, hallelujah, or amen, or whatever the case may be. Normally we sit there and we'll say, man, I'd never do that. I remember the first time I stood to my feet and shouted, God got on me so much. Hey, listen, I couldn't help it. I had to stand. And I stood up and I shouted, hallelujah! And everybody's looking at me and I thought, whenever I come to my senses, I said, what happened? Hey, I was under the influence. Amen. God got on me and I couldn't help myself. Now, sometimes in our life and especially in walking with the Lord, God will speak to us and we'll do things and we'll walk up to somebody and say, hey, let me invite you to church. Under the influence. Let me tell you about Jesus and how He saved my soul. Under the influence. Y'all with me this morning? Hey, listen, we need to be under the influence of the Holy Spirit of God and not drawing attention to Him, but we're drawing attention to the Lord. Amen. Five things, real quickly, I want to ask you. It ain't 12 o'clock yet, so hold on. Five things I want to ask us. Are we under the influence in our worship? When we come to the house of God and we come together, do we come to worship the Lord? And are we under the influence of the Holy Spirit of God? Are we filled when we get to the house of God? Now don't lie to yourself and don't lie to me and don't lie to God. Most of the time when we come to church, we're not filled up and ready to worship. Amen. That's exactly right. That's why we have to come back Sunday night and Thursday night. Amen. We have to come get some more. Amen. To get charged up. But we're to come and worship Him and expect Him to work in our lives and expect Him to move in the service and do the supernatural. Many times we come to church to worship and our worship services is way down on the bottom of where they should be. We'll see people shout and praise the Lord. We'll see people get saved. We'll see people walk the aisles and get right with God and get right with each other. And I mean, sometimes the preacher don't even get to preach. And we'll see God begin to move and sweep through the pews and do miraculous things. And we'll sit back and say, man, we had an unusual service today. My friend, it ought to be that way every day. It ought to be like that every time we come to church. Amen. We get filled and get under the influence of the Holy Spirit of God and we come to worship Him and praise Him for what He's done. What did John say? John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. What did the Lord do whenever John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day? The Lord spoke to him. Whoop. That'll help you right there if you'll let it. Amen. He was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and the Lord spoke to him. Hallelujah. Worship the Lord. Are we under the influence in our worship? Stay with me. I'm going to give you some Scripture. I didn't write all this down, so I got to flip to some of it. Philippians chapter number 3. Philippians chapter number 3. The Bible says in verse number 3, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Jesus Christ and have no confidence in the flesh. We worship God in spirit, amen, and in truth. Have no confidence in the flesh, amen. My flesh is a failure. Somebody help me. Amen. It fails. There's no confidence in my rotten, stinking flesh. John chapter number 4, the Bible says in verse number 24 of John chapter 4, God is spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Amen. So, are we under the influence in our worship? Are we under the influence in our giving? Oh my, preacher, do you have to get on that again? Every time we come to church, you got to talk about giving. No, I do not have to talk about giving every time we come to church. But if we're under the influence of God, it's not going to affect us. Amen. When somebody says something about giving, it's not going to make us mad. It's not going to upset us. Worshiping, part of our worshiping is giving back to God for what He's blessed us with. That's part of worship. And I love to worship in my giving. Amen. Are we under the influence when it comes to our giving, or are we greedy and fleshly and carnal? The book of Acts tells us, when we're talking about giving, the books of Acts teaches us, in the early church, they sold their possessions and their lands, and they brought those things into the church because they was under the influence. Are we under the influence in our singing? Let me give you some Bible here. It's the book of Colossians, chapter number 3. Colossians chapter number 3, the Bible says in verse number 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, not carnal songs, not fleshly songs. Amen, country radio station. Spiritual songs. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Are we under the influence when it comes to our singing and the music that we listen to? I'm just trying to help us this morning, amen? If we begin to listen to that carnal, fleshly music, it's going to cause us to have a carnal, fleshly mind. Be careful of the ears what you hear, for the Father up above is looking down in His love, amen? Be careful of the ears what you hear. Are we full of the Holy Spirit and under His influence in our music and in what we're singing and what we're listening to? I had that discussion the other day with a gentleman, and he says, preacher, I guess we're just going to have to agree to disagree. I said, nope, I ain't going to do that either. I'm standing on the Word of God. I know what the Bible says about music. And they begin to tell me, he questioned me about music, and he said, well, now listen, do you watch TV? I said, well, yeah, I watch TV. Forgive me. I do watch a little TV. I said, I don't watch the news. It's too depressing. Why? What do you ask? He said, well, now, you know, there's some actors on there, and we watch some of those shows. And, you know, like Andy Griffith, we watch him, and he was a Democrat, and he stood for things that were wrong. But, yeah, we still watched him. So I tell him, and I begin to help him understand that whenever I'm watching TV, my mind is idle. I'm not sitting there watching Andy Griffith and Barney and trying to be spiritual. Lord help you, can't be spiritual with Barney anyway. Amen? I'm not trying to be spiritual. I'm sitting there relaxing my mind and relaxing myself and watching the TV set. I'm not trying to be spiritual. And ever you listen to the radio and you're riding down the road, most people are not trying to be spiritual. That's why they listen to the carnal music. I know this ain't popular preaching, but God said preach it. Amen. Whenever we're sitting in front of the television, you still need to monitor what you watch. You might not be trying to be spiritual sitting there in front of it, but you better watch what you put before your eyes. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. For the Father up above is looking down in His love. Amen. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Those things that you see goes into the mind. Amen. The eye gate of those things we see goes into the mind, and it affects the mind. And the Bible says the carnal mind is enmity with God. It's against Him. The carnal mind. Be careful the things that we set before our eyes. Be careful of the things we let in these ears. Be careful with that. Are we under the influence in our singing? Are we under the influence in our service? The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19, quench not the Spirit. Quench Him not. Are we under the influence in our service? In our service for the Lord. I'm not talking about the service at church. I'm talking about in our individual service. Does God have something for you to do? Well, sure He does. He's got something for everybody to do. Amen? In our service for the Lord, are we under the influence of the Holy Spirit? Let me say this to you. If God's not called you to do a work, you'll not get it done. Amen? But if God's laid something on you to do in the service for the Lord, and God's asked you or placed it upon you to do that work under the influence of the Holy Spirit of God, under the power of God, we can get those things accomplished. Preacher, I don't know that I can do what God wants me to do. Yeah, all things are possible with God. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I can do those things. Oh, we're under the influence in our service. But sometimes we get carnally minded in our service and we don't want to do because our flesh is overtaken. Sometimes we throw in the towel and we quit on God because our flesh gets in the way. Hey, listen, we can't talk about getting tired and not wanting to do. We can't talk about that. If anybody's got a reason to be tired and not wanting to do, you're looking at him. I work long hours and I work two jobs, amen? And I try to be a pastor, and that's a job, amen, within itself. Not only working a full-time job, but then pastoring. I have lots of things to do, lots of things to keep up with, a lot of things in the shadows that the members don't know anything about, the phone calls and the prayer list and all the things that people try to confront me with, they get questioned about or counseled about or whatever it is. There's a lot that goes on with that. We don't talk about being tired, not wanting to do anything. I get first place. I'm not bragging on myself, amen, but it is the power of God. That's the only way I can do it. It is the grace of God that gets me through every single day. Now, I'm not telling you, and I'm not standing before you to tell you and try to brag on myself and brag on my flesh, because in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. But it is the service that the Lord's called me to do, and so I have to stay on my knees and stay in the Bible and stay before the throne of grace, amen, to continue the service that God's allowed me to do. Amen? If we're not careful, that service that God's given us to do, we'll get out from under the influence. We'll become fleshly minded and carnal minded, and we'll begin to drop the ball on our service. Are we under the influence in our worship, in our singing, in our service, in our giving? Let me ask you this one, and I'm going to quit. Are we under the influence in our praying? Are we under the influence in our praying? Let me give you a Bible to back up what I'm saying. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. The Bible says, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The Spirit itself maketh intercession for us. When we pray, is our prayer time, are we separated from the world and the things of the world, that our prayer time is under the influence of the Holy Spirit of God, that God hears our prayer. Ephesians chapter number 6, told you I'm almost done. Amen. Apostle Paul said to finally, brethren, over 14 times. I'm teasing. Praying always, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. In Ephesians chapter 6, it deals with the whole armor of God. And we're instructed to put on the whole armor of God to protect ourselves from the wiles of the devil, the fiery darts of the devil, and to be able to stand in the evil day. We're commanded to put on the helmet of salvation. Let me just run over this real quickly. We're to put on the helmet of salvation, prepare your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace and the shield of faith and to quench the fiery darts and the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Within that armor of God, in verse 18, it says, praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Are we under the influence in our prayer life? When we pray, are we under the influence? Or are we distracted by all the things of the world? Are we doing those flash prayers, just shoot something up right quick and say a quick prayer and moving right along? Or do we get along with God and get serious with God and say, God, I don't know how to explain this. And the Holy Spirit begins to move and work and do the work and makes intercession for us. Please don't misunderstand my message this morning. We do not pray to the Holy Spirit. We do not worship Him. The Holy Spirit is what God gives us, amen, and we're to be controlled by Him. And our actions and our words and everything that takes place in our life as a believer, folks will know that we're under the influence of the Spirit or not. They'll know if we're serving the Lord by our actions. Our service will be one of those services that can't be explained. How do they do what they do? I don't know how they do that. I had a preacher tell me that the other day. He said, "Preacher, I do not know how in the world you do what you do." I said, "I don't either." I said, "I couldn't give you a recipe or I couldn't give you any explanation other than the fact that God says go and I just go and honor Him and try to mind Him. Now, there's nothing special about me, but there's everything special about Him." Amen? When it comes time for our singing, our worship, and our praying, are we under the influence? I hope this has been a help to you this morning. Being under the influence. Be not drunk with wine where is an excess, but it is commanded in Scripture that the born-again believer to be filled with the Spirit of God. Are you filled with the Spirit of God today? Ask yourself that question. You know already. Am I filled with the Spirit of God? In my worship, do I honor Him in my worship? Do I honor Him in my service? Do I honor Him with my singing, with the music I listen to, with the things I watch on TV? Do I honor Him every single step of the way? Whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all unto the glory of God. Amen? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for the privilege You've given us this morning to be in Your house. I thank You, Lord, for Your grace and for Your mercy. And I pray, dear Father, You'll help us, Lord, to understand the importance of being under the influence of the Spirit. Dear God, I pray that You'd help us understand, Lord, the importance of what that means in our life as a Christian. God, I pray that You touch each and every heart here this morning. Thank You, Lord, for speaking to us. Thank You, Lord, for the precious Word of God. And I thank You so much, Lord, we're able to come this morning and sit in a church by the side of the road that You've set aside and prepared for us, Lord. We can come and worship. Bless now, I do pray, the remainder of this day. Bless the invitation time. Have Your will and way, Father, in the rest of this service. And Father, we'll thank You and praise You for what You do. In Jesus' loving, sweet, precious, and holy name I pray. Amen and amen.